Got it. Well, hello everybody. Soon we're going to have lots of little kids who are grown up, and they'll be taking the place of the older ones. Boy, there's a lot of little kids here. Man, we're growing. Today, I'd like to talk when... Oh, we don't have that. It's just this one. That's broken. So, it's... He's got it here. On December 25th, Eric shared about the Lord's first coming. He came, and it's quite amazing. God became a man. I mean, it's very amazing. Last week, Andy shared about the Lord coming back. And I'm going to kind of share about that, but more the Lord's purpose, that He wants a kingdom. The Jews, they were looking for that. They took the prophecies that He would come as a king, and they thought He was going to do it in a different way than He did it. They didn't accept Him. And His purpose is He does want a kingdom expressed on the earth, and it will happen one day. But the catch is, the way He does it is just very strange to our way of thinking. Even today, it's very strange. And we'll look at some verses about that. Then go and see how, yeah, He wants a kingdom, but that's not something that's far away from us, that has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with us. And it's just the Lord's, in Isaiah 55, I always think of the verse because it's just so applicable to us when He says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And they're really not. And in the context of the church life, how we should get along and what we should do, it's all laid out in Scripture, but we still miss it. So often, we still miss it. And the disciples... Those guys, they were real blockheads sometimes. They were. No joke. They were blockheads. And we'll go through some verses and show. And the Lord is so good, He doesn't try to get us all right and then work with us. He works with us along the way and changes us as we go. And if He didn't, we would all be in trouble, and the Lord couldn't work with any of us. So let's pray, and we'll dive into some scriptures. Lord, we thank You that we can be here again, opening Your Word. We do it all day here. Thank You, Lord, we have the freedom to open Your Word, and pray that as we open Your Word, we would not just gain knowledge, but we would come to know You better. Amen. Let's look at... First of all, let me ask a question. And this isn't a trick question, and there's not one answer. What are some of the things the Lord wants? I mean, He wants a kingdom. What are some other things God wants? Anybody can answer. It's not right or wrong. He wants a bride. What are some other things?
Desires mercy, not sacrifice.
Oh, good verse. That's true. That's true. That's a good verse. What...
In Ephesians 1:18, it says that I pray that the eye of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Yeah, that's those three things. For us. Yeah, for us individually, he really wants that. That's important. Anything else you can think of? I mean, there's just lots and lots of things.
But let's look at this one aspect today, which it's one thing, but it encompasses more than one thing. Everyone turn to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6. Now, you see, a lot of these verses that I'm going to read are in the context of other things. Sometimes they're in the context of bad things. But the Lord, this comes out throughout the whole Scripture. You'll be reading along, and then you'll come to verses like this, and it's very interesting. It says that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Numbers 14:21. Look at that. This is a thread through the whole Scripture. And this is in the context of something that's not good. But You know, in verse 20 it says, "So the Lord said, you know, to Moses, I've pardoned them according to your word, but indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord." It's going to be wonderful. It will be wonderful. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 7. In Ezekiel, you have 75 times this phrase that they, and it, the phrase will apply to the nations, the phrase will apply to Israel, but it happens 75 times in this book. And 39:7, "My holy name I shall make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I shall not let my holy name be profaned anymore. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel." And God wants people to know Him. That's what God wants. He wants His kingdom, of course, to come. And He wants the, His glory to be revealed. And it will happen. It hasn't happened yet. But He just wants, and He wants to have a relationship with people. So let's look. Let's go back in Isaiah and look at chapter 11, verse 9. And one of the things that will happen, this is speaking, looking forward to the millennium, it says, "They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain." Well, why is that? "For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." When that happens, things will be very different than they are today. I mean, just think today, people try to change, you know, we want to elect so-and-so and so to this and that and try to get things fixed up, but they'll never be until His kingdom comes. There never will be peace in the world until His kingdom comes. Turn over to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. It's after Micah, which is after Hosea and Amos. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." What a good time that's going to be. And there's a lot of other verses. Let me just touch two more verses that talk about the Lord being the King. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9, it says, "And the Lord will be king over all the earth. And that day the Lord will be the only one, and His name the only one." And then Malachi 1:11, it says, "From the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations." And a grain offering, "And in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations." So we have today in the church is not strictly speaking the kingdom, it's going to be part of the kingdom, but we have the privilege today of serving the Lord and looking forward to that time when He'll set it up. But today we can experience the kingdom today. Because remember Paul in Romans 14, he says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, it's joy, and it's peace in the Holy Spirit. And the only people today who could have be counted righteous, have righteousness, joy, or peace, would be Christians. Because we'll never get it any other way. And that's what it is for us today. And like Jesus said to when He came, He said, "The kingdom of God is among you." And it was at that time in the person of Jesus Christ. It was among them. But they didn't see it. They didn't see it. And it's just, I just went through three of the Gospels. And it's like, what is going on here? And, it, you know, two times, it's interesting, two times the Lord marveled. He marveled at the people in His hometown, their unbelief. And He marveled at the belief of the centurion. He marveled two times at unbelief and belief. Unbelief of his people, but the belief of the centurion, this Gentile guy. So it's just, it's interesting how things work out. But so the Lord wants a kingdom. So what did he do to go about putting this into making it work? Well, in Exodus, if you turn to Exodus chapter 19, you see, well, you know, we can see he called out a people. First of all, he called Abraham, and then we get to Exodus 19, where we're starting to see more. And in Exodus 19, chapter 5, he gets into a covenant relationship with a group of people. Now then, in 19:5 of Exodus, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses, you know, he called the elders, set before them all the words that the Lord had commanded him. In verse 8 it says, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Well, we all know what happened. They didn't. And that's the whole rest of the Old Testament. They failed miserably. I mean, it wasn't good. And some of the things that happened, and you just scratch your head, but we were talking Friday night, I guess it was, we can never point our fingers at them and say, oh, they were so bad, well, we have the same problems. Not exactly the same problems, but we do things that are very inconsistent with the calling that we've been called with. I mean, we all do. We all fall. Look at Peter. You know, he denied with an oath that he didn't know him. You know, a few hours before, oh, hey, I'm not going to deny you. Not me. They might, but I'm not. Well, then, you know, that happened. And, I mean, imagine how he felt, especially, you know, the Lord looked at Peter. And you wonder, what was that look? Was he like, or was he just a look of compassion? You wonder what that was like. And I think it was a look of maybe some sorrow, but compassion to Peter. So, anyway, Israel, they really, everything in the covenant that they were supposed to do, they didn't do. And everything that they weren't supposed to do, they did. And if you read it at the end of Deuteronomy, they did everything that was bad. So they failed. So what happened with them is they look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Interesting thing that happened to them. Hosea 4, verse 6. This is Hosea was written between 765 725 BC, and in chapter 4 it says, verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So they were set aside as being priests to Jehovah. But the Lord never loses. If you look at Isaiah 61, he will receive them back. In Isaiah 61, verse 6, it says, but you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. So at the time when Israel comes back to the Lord nationally, there will come a time in history, and it's at the end of the tribulation, where nationally Israel, they will all believe. In Zechariah 12 and 13, it talks about it. A nation, in Isaiah 65, I think, or 66, a nation will be born in a day. They'll all believe, they'll look on him whom they've pierced, and they will all believe, and their Messiah at that time. And then they will be brought back in. They will be priests of Jehovah leading worship in the millennium of all the nations. And it's going to be a wonderful time. So you look at all this stuff that the Lord's going to do, and this is, you know, this is future, but he's working towards it today, now, no longer with Israel nationally, but with something that came in later, the church. And the church are just people who believe in Jesus Christ and who are born again. Now, we've talked about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. There is a sphere of profession today where, you know, there's all these churches. It doesn't mean that everybody who goes to church is in the kingdom of God. They may be in the outward sphere of the kingdom of heaven, because not everybody who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. So, the kingdom of God. But whoever would believe does. So today, the Lord is working with a group of people. And when the disciples were here, he got these guys who were just people, fishermen, businessmen, tax collectors. They weren't the religious folks from Jerusalem. And, you know, he worked with them and brought out, you know, the church. In Acts, we transition and we have the church. But look at one interesting thing I saw this week when I was reading in Luke. These guys, now remember, these guys had been with the Lord for 3.5 years. They've seen, you know, all the stuff in the Gospels. And so you come to, and of course the women were the only people who had a clue of what was up. I mean, Mary anoints him for his burial. They're the first at the grave. The guys, they weren't there. But the women, they were there. So here's the guys at the Last Supper, just before Jesus is going to die. And, you know, you read over this stuff. It's like, yeah, okay, I got that. Well, no, look at this. There arose also, and this is Luke 22:24. There arose also a dispute among them as to which of them was regarded to be the greatest. Now you would think that after all this time and all the teaching, all they saw, they would have got it by then. But they didn't. But, not to point a finger at them, yeah, they were real blockheads. So were we. Because we don't got it all. We don't know as much as we think we do. We really don't. We really don't. And the Lord bears with every one of us, because nobody's got it all, and we're all a work in progress. And Satan tries to divide and do things in churches based on all of our weaknesses, because we all have weaknesses. But if we can see, like, we're going at this together, we're in this thing together, and we're all going to the same place, it helps in the context of our church life to get along with one another. Because nobody is all right. All right knowledge-wise, all right personality-wise, or morally. Nobody's got it all. We're all here to help one another. And that's what he lays these principles down. You know, we come to the Gospels, and the principles are laid down in the Gospel, in the Gospels too. We've been going over the Sermon on the Mount. And those are principles by which we can live as believers. But then in the epistles, things are laid down how we should be today in the context of the church. And let's look at a few of those. We're in Ephesians chapter 3 at our house, which it's a good study. We're having a good time. But it's interesting to see, he gives you, in the first three chapters, he gives you this really high vision of what the Lord has done, what he's doing, where we're going. And then you get to the practical outworking of all that stuff in 4 through 6. And in chapter 4, good verses. It's just great verses. You know, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." Like the wise man we were just talking about. You know, let's be wise about this. And then he says, "with all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. And, you know, we read these verses, but sometimes I'm not that way. I don't want to forbear with you. I want my way. I want it now and outright. It's the way we are, especially guys, and especially guys with their wives. We don't like to listen to our wives. A lot of times we don't. And it's just true. It's just the way it is. I check my experience. It's that way. Probably yours is that way to some degree because we're all the same. There's nobody any different here. Nobody's like the hot shot, and then we have the people who just aren't making it. We all ain't making it. And it's only the Lord's mercy that we do. So the principles of what have been of having humility among ourselves and walk in love. And if we do that, things tend to work out much better. But we don't always do that. And then you have in Colossians chapter 3, if you look at that, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If then you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And then verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Well, why would that be? Well, that's where we're headed. That's what we're about. Right now, today, we're pilgrims and we're strangers. We're just kind of passing through this place. And we have our marching orders, what we should do as far as the world. We share the gospel, we make disciples. And that's what we do. But we shouldn't be so like the earth dwellers in the Psalms and in Revelation, just living for the earth, being on the earth, and having that be our only hope. Because if it is, we really have no hope. We really don't. And turn to Matthew chapter 6. Here's a really good thing we read over, but, you know, when things happen, it's hard to do. I mean, it's hard for all of us. In Matthew chapter 6, let's look at verse 33. You know, let's look at verse 31. Don't be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. And if you don't believe it, go to the mall. I went to the mall right around Christmas. There were so many people there. It was a lot of people. And the Gentiles, they eagerly seek. But for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And we all tend to worry, to one degree or another. I mean, we all do, especially if you lose your job. It's like, this is not a good thing. But the principles He gives can help us. And when He says that, you know, now one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father, well, I figure, you know, He cares for a bird, a sparrow. It's not like a pileated woodpecker or a peregrine falcon. It's a sparrow. So if He cares for a sparrow, probably He would care for me. And, you know, Dean really impressed me a few years ago. Dean lost his job. He didn't have a job for like 2 years or something. I don't remember what it was. But it was for a while. It wasn't 2 months. It was over a year. But he just kept doing stuff for the Lord as if nothing was happening. His wife had a job, but, you know, she didn't make a whole lot of money. But he just kept working and doing, seeking the kingdom. And it really encouraged me because if I lost my job, I'm like, would I keep doing that? I don't know. Maybe someday I'll find out. But he really just kept seeking the Lord and walking with the Lord. And then in chapter 6 of Matthew also, Jesus says to pray in this way. Chapter 6, verse 9, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Don't lead us to temptation. And yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that's something we should just be like on that line, thinking that way. Not, you know, and it's hard because today and this day, and especially in this place where so many of you have come to work, it's just like everything's just too fast and too crazy. But that's the way it is today. That's just the way it is. And to be able to take time out and to focus on what's important and not be distracted by all this stuff. And it's good. The principles are all here. But so often we get sidetracked with whatever we may get sidetracked with. But His kingdom is what's important. And today, in the context of the church, He's using the church, He's using believers to further His kingdom, and eventually it will come. Because some people, I guess some Christians would look at it like, well, His kingdom will come one day, now I should just kind of hang out and do whatever. No, there's something for us to do, and we're related to that, and we should be living for that. And in Peter, you know, Peter chapter 3, says 2 Peter, I think, chapter 3, verse 11, it has, you know, all this has an effect on us. It says, this is talking about the coming of the new heavens and the new earth, the day of the Lord, and all the stuff that's going to be coming yet future. It says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, in verse 11, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? So we should be, you know, have our mind, like in Colossians, set on things above. You know, look what the Lord's doing. And look what's going on beyond, you know, all the stuff that the devil deceives people with everything. I mean, just people are so deceived. And they, you know, like when my mom was here and she listened to Eric preach, she said, wasn't it just wonderful? He handled himself so well and blah, 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 blah. And I said, yeah, but did you kind of get what he said? And, it's always hard with your parents. It's so hard. But, I mean, people, you can just see the blindness on people's eyes that they don't see what's up, which we know. The Bible shares that that's the way it is. And that's why we can pray for them. We talk with them. And it's just good and it's great. I got these, I don't know, who put these Arabic tracks out there? Who did that? Whoever did it is great. Because the guys at Whole Foods are all Egyptians. And, you know, they read Arabic. And they, you know, they can read this stuff. I mean, I look at it like, yeah, okay. But they take them. And that's what, you know, we can just do stuff for the Lord. Just do stuff. Get the word out. And we don't have to change anybody. But we sow the seed. And the Lord gives the results. But it's just, it's good that we can have a part in what the Lord's doing today. And even at the Bible Club down at Woodbridge, I mean, these cute little kids, they're just so cute. And they listen. They listen to whoever's talking. They're listening for the most part. I mean, they jump around a little bit, but it's really pretty good. It really is. But some little girl made a profession of faith last week. And so that's what, you know, when Jesus said to Joseph and Mary, I must be about my Father's business, they didn't quite get it. But that's all he was about, is his Father's business. Same with us. So the Lord, he's seeking a kingdom, and he will get it, and he will be the king. But right now, he's not. The kingdom is suspended, the outward form of it. Now it's in the context of believers. The kingdom is in operation. Matthew 5 should be the principles spoken of there. That should be the way we are to one another, you know. And I briefly touched on in the epistles. I mean, that's very brief. But the principles, basically, if we walk in love and humility, things work out well. And the Lord knows how to how to do what he's going to do. So that's all I have. Does anybody have a question? If you have a question, ask a question, because sometimes I don't make things real clear. Don't tell me everybody's clear. I couldn't have been that clear, was I?
Question.
Yeah, George always has a bit. Okay, George, what is it?
Well, we talk about the kingdom, and it says that there are going to be kings and priests, and that there's going to be grand responsibilities.
That's right.
In the future.
That's right.
Is there any things that it says in the Word that we should be, besides the obvious, should we be doing to set ourselves up for those responsibilities and to be pleasing God now for the future?
Yeah, there are things that... of course we know the one, Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples, we know that. But we all have Ephesians chapter 2, talks about the works that the Lord prepared beforehand, that we would walk in the good works. And then Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, and that the believers will be judged for the works done in the body, the works we do while we're here. Works being things we do for the Lord, like, working with the young people and having, that type thing, or doing things in the context of the church, Sunday school, or whatever. Whatever we do for the Lord, that will be rewarded someday. And it's like the guy with the talent, you had 5, 2, and 1. Well, the guy who had 5 talents, he doubled them, and, be thou over 10 cities, and the 2 talents, he got 5, and, be over 5 cities, I think it was, but they use what the Lord had given them. The Lord gives everybody something that they can do, something. And it doesn't have to be outward, like standing up and talking or anything, because, if you lose your pancreas, you've got problems. So a lot of people, you might not see what they do, but it doesn't matter. We're all doing something for the Lord, and then we'll be rewarded. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll have gold, silver, precious stone, and some of the works that Christians do that I'm sure I've done and we've done could be wood, hay, and stubble. And they'll be burned up, no profit. But we try to do what we do for the Lord based on what we see in the Scripture, not based on what we think we should do. It's got to be in the Scripture. Is that good?
Yeah, so you think the parable of the talents is probably the most direct correlation to our future kingdom and responsibilities.
Right, right. Talk, did you have something?
Yeah, would you mind going over again? James 2:17?
2:17, is that the one about faith and works?
Yeah.
James 2:17, okay, let me... That's a good verse. Even so, faith but has no works is dead, being by itself. And that's true, because faith will have an expression. If you have true faith, you will have works, because faith in the Lord, you have the life of God, and you believe in Him. You've got that life, and it's going to have an expression. Remember, we were talking about the life is the light of men. It just is. It's the same idea, like an apple tree grows apples. It just has apples. Well, why is that? Well, because it's an apple tree. It has the life of an apple tree, and it just, that's the fruit it produces. Now, the works don't save us, because remember when the lady washed the Lord's feet with her hair, He said, "Woman, your faith has saved you." Your faith has saved, not her works. Her faith has saved her. But she had the work of washing His feet. So we're saved by our faith, by believing. But our faith will, if we have faith in the right object, Jesus Christ, we will have work, some kind of works. I mean, well, we just want to do something for the Lord because we have His life, and we're so happy that the Lord showed mercy to us and put our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We want to tell other people so that their names could be in the Lamb's Book of Life too. Is that good? Kind of good?
Thank you.
Okay. Danny?
Just going back to what George said, I mean, in order to prepare for the future, if we're believers, we each have a gift or gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, first of all, identify what our gift or gifts are, and then we should be using those gifts.
Right.
To the Lord.
Right.
And if we haven't identified a gift, well, then you're not preparing for the future. And if you have identified a gift or gifts, you need to be using them. And there should be no one here at Cherrydale not using their gifts. And right. Everyone here should be working.
And one way to find out what your gift is just do stuff for the Lord. Just do stuff for the Lord. And then you find out things that you like. And just do it. You know, and sometimes people, well, you want to come and do this? And say, well, it's not my gift. Well, you know, okay. And, you know, it's like elders. Elders should be apt to teach. They don't need to be a teacher, but they should be apt to teach. So you just do stuff. You just do stuff. I love Matt. He's great. Matt will lead the singing. He'll do the... Matt does everything. He just does stuff. And when you do stuff for the Lord, it helps you find your gift. It really does. It helps you find your gift. And it's good to... I mean, just think. I mean, one day, the Lord, you know, He said to the disciples, I'm no longer going to drink this cup with you, but I'll do it new with you in the kingdom. And you'll sit down and I'll serve you. Like, gotta be kidding. Really? I mean, how cool is that? So it's good. And remember, you know, some we couldn't get puffed up about, well, I've used my gift and I'm always working for the Lord and I'm this and I'm that. No, it's not like that at all. When you look at Luke chapter 17, Jesus puts things in a good perspective. He says to the guys in verse 10. You can look at seven. It's Luke 17. He says, "So you too, when you have done all the things which are commanded, you say, 'We're unworthy slaves. We've done only that which we ought to have done.'" So it's not like, "Hey, we're so great, we're doing so much." Hey, the Lord's told us what to do. Like, just do it, and it's. It's good. We're our conscience, in Hebrews it says, our conscience is cleansed for what? To serve the living God. Like, that sounds good. We can serve the living God. It's not like we're looking for a promotion in the big corporation because that'll be destroyed in Revelation 18. We want something that's going to endure. He that does the will of God abides forever. So that's good for us, and we're today, we have the opportunity to exhibit the Lord's character to people by getting to know the Lord through the Word, and it's just cool. It's not always easy, but, you know, that's what I'm talking about here. It's just the good stuff. This is good stuff. Any more questions? All right. Lord, thank you that we can be here and talk about your word for several hours on a Sunday. We thank you for that. And thank you that we have opportunity to get to know you through reading your word, through heeding your word, and through doing things for you. And pray that you would help all of us to do more of that, Lord. Amen.